and worship that form of God, so-called.
August 25th, Jivadharma Part 2.
Is the work of Satan, the devil. We learned that when Sri Chaitanya Deva appeared, that was 150 years earlier, he corrected the faults in Hindu Dharma. So we wonder, how come his followers still worship material idols? You Vaishnavas are very expert in the Shastra, so why haven't you given up form, a conception of that God as form? So when these four Vaishnavas heard this question, which was a little bit of a challenge, they were all amused inwardly. And outwardly, they requested Gaur Chandra Das Babaji to be their representative and reply. And Pandit Gaur Chandra said, "As you order." And then he turned to the mullah and said, "Who you call Allah, we call Bhagavan. God is one, and he has different names according to his own pastimes and activities and completeness, and also according to different countries and languages. His names are according to his characteristics. So that name which contains his most complete characteristics, that's the best name. And therefore, we find the title Bhagavan to be better than Allah, better than Brahma, better than Paramatma. Why? Because those other names, they have no form. Shastra does not support the idea that God does not have a form. The word Allah means that there's nothing and no one superior to him. But greatness and superiority are not the only characteristics of God. Rather, the greatest characteristic of God is those characteristics which evokes the greatest wonder. This is called Chamatkarti, just like we have Chamatkar Chandrika, wonderful, astounding pranks of Krishna, four wonderful, astounding pranks. So that which evokes the greatest wonder in the hearts of all, that's the greatest characteristic of God. Another greatest of his characteristics is his sweetness.
This is in Jivadharma? This is in Jivadharma. The greatest characteristic is that which evokes the greatest wonder.
Chapter 11 of Jivadharma. So, it's superiority and supremacy that evokes wonder, one kind of wonder. And his minuteness, God's minuteness, evokes another kind of wonder. The conception of Allah and Allah's characteristics does not evoke the highest wonder. Whereas the word Bhagavan and all of its implications evokes complete and total wonder in all hearts. What is the meaning of Bhagavan? Prabhupada used to teach us this when we were brand newborn babies in 1966 at 26 2nd Avenue. Very patiently and with a lot of time, Bhagya, he said, means fortune, and Van means one who possesses. There are six types of fortune or greatness. So now back to Jivadharma. Gaur Chandra Das Babaji is also now discussing these six kinds of greatness of God. Number one, his opulence. And opulence means the greatest. He's opulent in being the greatest and the smallest or the most minute. Anordaniyana mahatom hiyan. He's greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest. Innumerable universes emanate from his breath and the poreholes of his body, and he himself can enter into the atom. and enter into the minute soul of the jiva. Second characteristic of Bhagavan, he's the most powerful. All powers, shaktis, are in him. He's beyond human intelligence. Everyone, including our intelligence, is controlled by his achintya shakti. Because of that achintya shakti, he has form and he's formless simultaneously in many ways. Uh-oh. Are you all there? Hare Krishna, are you still there? You're there, okay. The phone rang, so I thought it was you saying that we were disconnected. Okay. To think that God has no form is to reject his achintya shakti, or inconceivable power. God has no power. No form, no power. No power, no form. His achintya shakti means that it can manifest his form. This achintya shakti manifests his form and his unlimited pastimes to the devotees. Actually, in another book of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary to Shikshastakam, the four activities of Achintya Shakti, Achintya Sharup Shakti, are given. This Shakti manifests Krishna's personal form, all of his expanded forms, his unlimited Leela, his unlimited abodes, the unlimited Jivas, and the material world. On the other hand, Gaurachandra Das Babaji is saying, Allah, Brahma, Paramatma are niraka. They have no form and therefore no wonderful characteristics that evoke wonder. Then his third feature, his third bhaga or fortune, he's all auspicious and opulent. His lila is all nectar. Four, he has all beauty. And with transcendental vision, one can see his most beautiful form. Number five, he has all knowledge. That means he's pure, complete, omniscient. He has a transcendental form, which is the embodiment of consciousness and knowledge. And number six, even though he's the master and controller of everything, he's unattached, renounced, and independent. Also, so those are the six features of Bhagavan, which make him Bhagavan. Six greatnesses. Then Bhagavan also has two manifestations. One is his majestic or Aishwarya manifestation, and one of his sweetness. Krishna and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord of our hearts, are the full manifestation of his sweetness. Then Pandit Gaurachandra says, we agree with you that no one should worship a material form and call that God. Vaishnava Dharma is the worship of the fully conscious, eternal deity form of the Lord. What you call boot or Satan's imaginary form is not in Vaishnava Dharma. Vaishnavas don't worship idols. Everything depends on the quality of faith. The more one has pure faith, the more one is competent to worship the pure form of the Lord. You may be advanced, mula, you may be very advanced and transcendental to matter, but Are your disciples transcendental? Are all their thoughts spiritual thoughts? Is their thinking free from matter? That you're free from worshipping matter? Because your people can only think of matter, you are implicated in the worship of matter. You say it's Satan's business to worship matter, but all of your people are worshipping matter because that's all they can think. You claim that God is formless, but your heart is full of matter and material forms. General people cannot worship the pure form of the Lord. The pure form of the Lord's vision depends on the personal quality of the individual. Only a transcendental person can think of the transcendental form of the Lord. Think about this carefully, Mula. Then Mula, just to make sure he got it right, and in conversations we learn that this is a very good thing to do. If you're having a conversation with somebody where you need to be understood and the person needs to know that you've understood them, and you need to know that you've understood them, repeat what they've said and they'll tell you whether you got it right. And then you can carry on from there. Because if you haven't understood what they've said, then how can you respond to it or help them or help yourself? So the Mula repeated, "You say that there are six qualities, six greatnesses in God. And the Quran also says that. So we also believe that Allah is Bhagavan." So Gaurachandra Das Babaji said, "Oh, very good. Then you'll have to accept that Allah, or God, is beautiful. If he's beautiful, he must have a form in the spiritual world, which is quite different from matter." And the Mullah replied, "The scripture says that he has form. We accept that. But any image or manifestation of the Lord's form in this world, any image that we may make, is bhoot. It's not worship of God." That's our understanding. What is your Vaishnava point of view on that? So Gaurachandra said, "In the Vaishnava Shastras, it explains how to worship the personal form of the deity in such a way that one becomes free from matter. We don't worship the five elements, earth, water, fire, etc. In the Bhagavatam it says, and now I'll ask you, all of you who have the book with you, Jiva Dharma with you, to turn to page 266. And there's a very nice verse. That Srila Prabhupada was very fond of quoting. Yashatma buddhi kunupe trita duke swadi kalatradi suboma ijadi yatirta buddhi salilena karhasit chit jane swabigne susa eva gokara. If one considers this corpse-like body, Vasanti, what's your body like? A corpse, very good. If one considers this corpse-like body made of mucus, bile, and air to be his real self, if he thinks his wife, children, and other bodily relatives as his own, if one regards the worshipable deity form to be simply transformations of earth, such as wood or stone, see, I'll repeat that part because that's the subject of this chapter. If one regards the worshipable deity form to be simply transformations of earth or wood or stone, or if one goes to a place of pilgrimage to take bath but never hears from sadhus who are fully conversant with the Absolute Truth, such a person, although guised as a human form, in a human form, is certainly no better than an ass or a cow. Then he also quotes one verse, another verse, another phrase from the verse in Bhagavad Gita 9:25. One who worships matter goes to matter. So, there's no base in Shastra to worship dead matter. According to the human being's qualifications, which comes from his own impressions in his heart, sanskars, from many, many past births, accordingly, one will understand the pure spiritual Chinmaya form and worship that Chinmaya form of the Supreme Lord. Gradually, as one advances, by sadhu sangha, by chanting Harinam, by worshipping the deity under proper guidance, hearing Lila Katha from the pure devotee, one gradually can experience the Chinmaya form of the Lord. Now he's going to describe something really wonderful, how the Kanistha, Madhyama, and Uttama see the deity. Very, very interesting topic. The least eligible, he says, that is the Kanistha Adhikaris, they cannot understand, even if they look at the deity, they're just like myself. I look at the deity, I think his nose is too big, the deity wallet made his eyes one higher than the other, this deity is too small, I can't really appreciate it. That's the Kanistha, and I'm not even that. So, if they were to meditate on the form of the Lord in their mind, or if they were to meditate on the deity, it's the same thing, they're just going to see matter. They think that the deity is a construction of the elements of stone and wood. Therefore, they must worship the deity. When one has an inclination to serve Krishna, he's very sad not to see the deity, and this makes him advance. In religion, any religion, Muslimism, Judaism, Hinduism, what else is there? Sikhism, any religion at all, if there's no deity, then the members are must be highly materialistic and oblivious to God. Therefore, worship of the deity is the foundation of every single religion for all humanity.
Can you say that sentence again?
Therefore, worship of the deity is the foundation of all religions for all humanity. And how is the deity form revealed in the world? I mean, why isn't he like three-armed or painted green or something? So, Gaurachandra Das Babaji explains, the form of the Lord is revealed by Mahajans in their trance. It's revealed to them in their trance by the Lord. Like, for example, Prahlad is a Mahajan, and he was always seeing Lord Nrisimhadeva in his heart. He was always in trance. And they meditate on that form in their heart. And through them, through their hearts, and then coming out of their mouth, or the deity is just manifested to them like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, or from the heart of Srila Rupa Goswami, Radha Damodara is manifested. So the form is revealed, Radha Damodara, or is that Radha Govinda? And through Jiva Goswami, Radha Damodara. What? Rupa Goswami actually made Radha Govinda. Radha Damodara for Jiva Goswami. So the form is revealed naturally, just by nature. He's always thinking of, in love, he's always thinking of that particular form of the Lord who he has a relationship with. And then, through him, that form is revealed to the world. And that Bhakta's heart revealed to the world is called Thakurji, or the deity. The deity is always Chinmoy, always transcendental for the Uttama Adhikari. He never sees, oh, he's stone or brass. Now for the Madhyama Adhikari, in fact, once I remember I was in Prabhupada's very first deity room, which was his quarters at 26 Second Avenue. And Prabhupada walked up to the deity and he said, oh, the deity is dancing tonight. So for the Uttama Adhikari, he sees the deity moving. For the Madhyama Adhikari, he sees the deity with perception and awareness. That is, he has the faith that the deity is conscious of his thoughts and prayers and is accepting his worship. But he cannot directly perceive the Chinmay form of the Lord as it is. He may see, according, depending on how advanced the individual Madhyama Adhikari is, he may see the stone, but he knows that the stone is not stone. And the Kanista, the lowest, he sees the deity as jada, inert matter. Therefore, but by doing deity worship under the pure devotee's guidance, he gradually advances. Therefore, all classes of devotees should worship the deity. Yes, don't worship imaginary forms. We agree. But the deity, the real worship of the real deity, is only arranged for jivas to gain auspiciousness. So Gurudev said we should contemplate these subjects and speak these subjects to each other. That will help solidify it in our minds and hearts. Then Gaurachandradas Babaji quotes Krishna speaking to Uddhava in the 11th canto, wherein Krishna says that when one's heart is cleansed, he can see my true transcendental form. The jivas are covered by the material mind, and therefore they can't know Krishna or serve him. And therefore, the sadhak, by hearing, chanting, remembering, and engaging in the nine processes of devotional service, his soul gradually becomes spiritualized. He gets spiritual power. And with that spiritual power, he can realize his own spiritual nature, his own natures as spirit soul manifests or awakens. Some people think that one can realize the truth by rejecting the untruth. This is called neti neti. The truth is not this, not that. Hey, and it's not that. And wow, it's not that either. But this never works because one cannot reject matter or unreal things any more than a prisoner can become free from prison just by desiring to be. Prabhupada gave the example in 1966 at 26 Second Avenue. If somebody says to me, leave the room, it's very dangerous here, leave immediately. And I say, okay, where should I go? Never mind, just leave. Okay, I'll leave, but where should I go? Never mind that, just leave. Well, no thanks, I'd rather be in a place that I know than to go to a place that I don't even know anything about, or that I refuse to hear about. So therefore, if one tries to reject matter when he's in the world of matter without having a positive spiritual world to take shelter of, he'll just stay here. So regarding the prisoner, it's not enough to just desire to get out, but he has to realize what put him in there, what crime or offense put him in there. And then he has to become free from that offense, and then automatically they'll let him out on parole. So we don't believe in Satan. We don't believe that such a monster exists. But even if there was a Satan, then he would be just some powerful jiva who was subordinate and under the control of the Lord. The real defect is not that Satan put us into this world of sin, or we surrendered to Satan. But the real thing is sin. And what is sin? What is our defect that put us in the prison? That is only one thing. Can anybody guess what that one thing is? Krishna bulise jiva nadir bahimuk atoiva maya tara deha samsaradidu. Both. Gurudev says both. And it's also in Gaudi Kantahar. So, forgetfulness of Krishna is the only defect, and from that, Maya gives us so many sufferings. If one, at the beginning, in the initial stages, mostly absorbs himself in matter, but he's mostly absorbed in matter, just by his lack of qualification, but he has darshan of the deity, and hears Lila Katha, and chants Hare Krishna under proper guidance, he gradually develops spiritual strength. And his own innate spiritual nature to serve Krishna and worship Krishna in his original spiritual form is awakened. This is the only hope for the jiva. Therefore, we should practice remembering these subject matters, seeing through the eye of scripture. Jivadharma is scripture. Otherwise, what are we seeing? Dust thou wert, dust thou beast. We'll see ourselves as dust, we'll see everybody else as dust, and we'll have fun all day talking about dust. Then the Mullah said, well, still, I think that thinking in the mind is better than fashioning a form in the five elements. You could tell he wasn't listening that well. But that's good for us that he didn't hear, because then we get to hear it again in a different way. So Guru Chandra said, it's one and the same. Thinking of the form in the mind, or thinking of God in the mind for a materialist, and fashioning a form in five elements. It's the same. Why? Because it's both matter. We say, oh, Allah is featureless. But what will happen if we try to meditate on the featureless? We'll just think of the sky. And then we start thinking of clouds. And then we start thinking of the sun. So we're all bound by matter. Our consciousness of, you know, Brahma, we're trying to think of Brahma. The unlimited, qualityless, tasteless, odorless, sightless, colorless Brahma. But that's limited. Our conception is limited within space. So if one says, oh, I am meditating on Brahma, that's also limited by time. In time, my meditation fades away. And the meditator is controlled by time and space. And therefore, his thoughts cannot be beyond time. So how can you think of Brahma? Okay, yes, we agree. Don't worship earth, water, or some imaginary God. You say that, and you say God is in all directions. But still, you'll be worshiping matter. You'll worship your husband or wife, because you don't have anything better. It's okay to worship your wife if your wife is Draupadi. That's what Gurudev said about Varnashram. It's good if your wife is Draupadi. Otherwise, it's just moral displays, which is better than animal life. Deities, the deity's form is experienced by the bhakta, not by the jnani or the karmi. Jnana karmadi anavritam. Then the mullah said, and me, I don't have a husband or a wife, so I'll just worship my own body, thinking that it's all in all. Then the mullah said, but matter is different from God. You can tell he still hasn't heard. But matter is different from God, so it's better not to worship, because that's Satan. Satan has introduced such worship. And that's when Gaurachandra says that, I don't believe this is Satan. But if there is, then he's subordinate to God. Why? Because God, nothing exists outside of God. He's the supreme controller of everything. The origin of sin is not Satan. The origin of sin is forgetfulness of Krishna. We have to worship God in material elements, but they're not material elements when it's a bona fide form coming from the heart of the Vaishnava. For neophytes, it's essential, and for advanced devotees, it's auspicious. Now it's 8:05. Shall we stop now and ask for questions, and then we can continue this chapter next time? I forgot to do the I kept half my promise, but not my full one. I promised that we would discuss today what these chapters are in relation to our own personal lives here in year 2006 in New Jersey, in Houston, at Govardhan, in New York, in Australia. And we did that, but I also promised that I would elaborately explain how to learn a verse, and that we'll have to do tomorrow.
There is no tomorrow.
There is tomorrow. Today's Wednesday, isn't it? We have one more day. We extended it to 6 days. So we'll do that tomorrow. We'll finish the 11th chapter and hopefully the 12th. Okay. Are there any questions?